Heaven tonight, and we're going to deal with the subject I feel God will help us with, Hebrews 11. And when you get there, just say amen. Hebrews 11. Now, if you had never read this chapter in the Bible, I encourage you to do so by now. It'll help you. Hebrews chapter 11, we often refer to this as the hall of faith. Amen. The hall of faith. And maybe in the future we can do a study throughout these. There's so much to preach here. I mean, it's amazing. You read at Hebrews 11, and it's almost like a giant pool. You just got to dive in somewhere and preach. If not, you could be here all night. So we're going to dive in around verses 1 and 2. We're going to jump out, and then we're going to dive back in at verses 29 through 40. Amen. Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 2, very familiar reading. And this is what it says. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Jump over to verse 29, and we're just going to kind of dive in here. Like I said, there's so much we could read, but I feel this is where we need to pick up. Hebrews 11 and 29 says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And then it goes on to say, and what shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, it quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women's received their dead raised to life again. Now, stop there. I want to show you something. As the Bible seems to change, it seems to go a different direction. We just read of all those miraculous things that happened. And then right there in verse 35, it goes this. It says, women received their dead raised to life again. Notice this. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain the better resurrections. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Amen. If you'll notice there, there was quite a bit of reading. But I want to preach to you today on the other side of faith. The other side of faith. If you remember a while back during revival, I preached on a position of faith. Well, this is different. I know it seems like maybe a little similar in title, but I want to preach on the other side of faith. And this is something I believe everybody needs to take to heart. It is something that is not preached or taught much, and it needs to be preached and taught. Amen. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You and thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy, and Your kindness. I would today, Lord, You simply anoint these lips of clay. Help me preach this gospel. We appreciate You moving this morning, God. We thank You for Your presence. Lord, we thank You for the Word. Lord, I don't know, Lord, Father, what we would do without this beautiful book, Lord, this Bible. And Lord, You chose the foolishness of preaching to reach the lost, to edify the church. God, I would today, as a preacher, You would anoint me. You would allow our hearts to be stirred and edified, that it find root in us, God, that we can go further and go on in Christ and live, Lord, on the other side of faith when You call us to do so. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. Dealing with faith tonight, I want to deal with this fact of the other side of faith. And we would understand, many of us, this is a popular subject. It is something that you could probably turn on your TV, go straight to TVN, and it's talking about faith. You know, sow a seed, so to speak. You send me this much money, and you know, you'll be blessed in this form. I've never sent him a dime, to be honest, and I've never been rich either. So I don't know. I don't agree with it. It seems a little far-fetched about this faith and mega-faith and ultra-faith and all this. But we understand that there is something called true faith. It is something that is a biblical faith. It is something that is real. It is something that we can live by and stand upon. And when I read the definition to you, it simply said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It lets us know that the true definition of faith is something that is not seen, is not always tangible, but it's something that you live by day, even though you've never seen it, even though you've never witnessed it, maybe in a physical form through your senses. You know that it's real, you know that it's there, and by faith you know that you stand on that. You're saved by faith. I've preached that before in this very pulpit. But I want to deal with this today because there's two reasons we need to preach true faith. The first reason is this, is first of all for the unbeliever, so that they can embrace Christianity on the basis of a true picture of it rather than a distorted one. I wonder how many people today, or even in other denominations or churches, wherever, that they heard of faith preached and maybe faith not in its true form, maybe it was distorted, maybe it was watered down, and they embraced that, and then from the very foundation they begin to build a structure spiritually that is not built on a solid rock. It's something that is distorted and twisted. I dare say that thousands, if not millions, of Christians in this world, they're building upon a faith that is not biblical. They're building upon a faith that was taught to them, maybe a doctrine or an idea from men, and there they have a distorted faith. The second reason we need to preach true faith is this, for believers such as you and I, that we can live our lives on the basis of the true views of God and His ways rather than the distorted and discouraging views. I just want to preach it and put it in this perspective. You may be here this tonight and understand that maybe you heard an idea about faith. You heard something maybe a preacher said somewhere at some time, and there maybe it's not a true form. Maybe it's in a different form that's not biblical. Maybe it's something that you've been discouraged. I've heard all sorts of things over the years. I've heard people say before, if you're sick, there's sin in your life. But that's wrong. But yet there's some people that live by that. I've heard people preach all sorts of doctrines and all sorts of ideas about faith, and their people are in a delusion and they are deceived. But like I've said already, there is a true faith. There is a biblical faith. And in this message, with the Lord's help, that what I'd like to do, I'd like to blow away the fog of the modern day idea of what faith is. I'd like for us to understand first and foremost that there's a message out there that teaches us today that it's a form of faith that says that if you are saved, that if you have faith in Christ, it will bring health, wealth, and prosperity. And where those things are lacking, then you have a lack of faith. That is a lie from the very pits of hell. Amen. Now you say, that's plain. Well, I'm just trying to be plain with you here. I heard one man said this. He said, when I get my mansion and my car, when everybody drives by, they'll know that there's a God. Well, I'd like to tell them, before there was a mansion and a car, a Rolls Royce or a Bentley, there's a God. Amen. Amen. You may not have two dimes to rub together, and you can still know Jesus Christ. Amen. This modern idea of faith and this health, wealth, and prosperity. Hear me today. Three things I want to deal with is this. The first thing is the miraculous side of faith. The second part is this, the enduring side of faith. And the third part is this, the receiving of your report card. What's going to happen if you keep your faith, no matter what you go through, no matter what your faith? The first point we're going to deal with is miraculous faith. When we look here in the Bible, this miraculous faith is this. It's the fact that this is this side of faith, that through our faith God can do miraculous things, miracles, acts of providence to bring practical earthly help and deliverance to His people. It is that prayer, it's that instantaneous move of God. You know what I'm talking about, when somebody comes to the altar and they have a sickness, they have an ailment, they have something that's going on, and people pray for them, and instantaneously it disappears, it eradicates because somebody had enough faith to touch heaven. This is that miraculous side of faith. When we look at the book of Hebrews, where I read to you, it gave us a rapid fire of instant miraculous miracles. It says in verse 29, it says that the Red Sea was split. It shows us in verse 30 that the walls of Jericho came down. It shows us in verse 33 that it shut the mouths of lions, referring back to Daniel when he went into that den there, and there them hungry, them evil lions were sitting there. But all of a sudden, the next morning, the king comes there and says, Daniel, has your God delivered you? And Daniel says back, said he has. And them big bad, you know, kitty cats that was everybody thought was going to destroy Daniel, I just like to picture it in my mind. They're sitting there purring like a little house cat. Amen. Miraculous faith. Things that are just out of the ordinary. Amen. Things that are just amazing. It goes on to say in verse 34, it said it quenched the balance of fire, referring to the Hebrew boys. You know, they go into that fiery furnace and God literally took the heat out of the fire. just miraculous. That is amazing. And even their clothes didn't smell like smoke. And the only thing that was burnt was the bonds and the pans that were on their hands. Now you would look at that. Man, how many camp meetings have we shouted that about? Praise God. I mean, boy, I cut a rug to myself about that one. It goes on to talk about in verse 35. It said, "Received their dead raised again," referring back to most likely to Elijah and the widow. I mean, about a dead person coming back to life. That is miraculous faith. Then it goes on into providential faith, where it does this, providential miracles, where the invisible hand of God is moving. In verse 31, it says, "Rahab heard of the power of God." You know, it was just not by chance, but it was God's providence that she heard about it. And then she's in the lineage of Christ. It is amazing. It was the providence of God. It goes on to say in verse 33, it says, "Through faith they subdued kingdoms." It goes on to say they escaped the edge of the sword and put enemies to flight. It was just seen that God had orchestrated all these different things into His people's favor, and it was all a part of that miraculous faith. Now that's the only part we ever preach. Amen? That's the only part the majority of your churches will ever talk about. It is that faith that is just wham, bam, here it is, boom. And man, I love. Has anybody ever seen a real miracle? I mean, I have, but when I remember I was younger, I ain't gonna walk around here like a crazy evangelist and say it happens every day. You know, it's amazing. Some people see them every day. Like I said, they open their cereal, my angel flies out and just eats back. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. It's every day. Their faith is just so big. It's so major. That's not me. It's not me. There's some days I wonder, God, what in the world? I'm living for You. I'm working for You. I go to church. I pay my tithes. I read my Bible. I have devotions. And this is what I get. No, I'm just trying to be honest with you. Not that I'm questioning God, but there's times I'm sitting there like, God. And the man beside me, you know, is talking to the angel every morning. He's rich. His church is packed out. I mean, they have less than thousands and thousands and thousands. Good point out, and I'm going to get back to my message. All growth ain't good growth. Amen. I don't know if you ever hit a deer before or came across some roadkill. You know, and you come across it the first day, so look, a dead deer. You come by 3 days later, and he's bigger. That's not good. He's growing, but it ain't nothing good, I promise. He's growing full of decay and death. Amen. I wonder about some of these churches that grow real fast. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's get back to the message. There's a side of miraculous faith. It seems to be the only side that we talk about. It is the only side that we rejoice in. And I want to point out to you today, I want to preach to you about the other side of faith. When we read here in the Bible, it names all those different miraculous things. But you'll read in verse 35, it says this. It goes on to say, "Women received their dead to raise to life again." But then it stops and it says, "And others were tortured, not accepting to deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging. Yea, more were bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented." But that was their faith. Hear me today. They said, "And others." This is in the same chapter. This is dealing with the same faith. This is pointing the same direction. It's saying some had miraculous things happen. Some it seemed like everything went perfect. But others it seemed like they went through battles. They went through trials. They went through torments. It says they were tortured. They were sawn asunder. But I want to present to you today that if we really believe the modern idea of faith, we would have to look at them and say, "Where is your faith?" Amen? The modern mega idea of faith would look at men and women in other countries and say they don't have no faith. If you had faith, you wouldn't be going through that. If you had faith, you wouldn't have this sickness. If you had faith, your mind wouldn't go through that. If you had faith, you wouldn't have financial problems. If you had faith, you would never face anything. But I would like to tell you today, that is just the other side of faith. It doesn't mean you're wrong. It doesn't mean you sin. It doesn't mean that you went backwards. It doesn't mean that you failed God. It is just simply the other side of faith. Hear me today. Understand the other side of faith is this, is that God does not always work miracles and acts of providence for our deliverance from suffering. Sometimes, by faith in God, He sustains His people through suffering. That means sometimes the healing may not come. That means at times you will suffer. This was one of the hardest things as a young Christian I probably had to deal with in my mind. I had a grandfather that had pancreatic cancer. And I thought for sure, you know, you're praying fervently. You're talking to Him daily. You're going in there reading the Bible with them. And you're just thinking for sure, God, I know You're going to heal him. You had preachers say, I believe God's going to do it. You bind together in faith. But what happened? The pancreatic cancer got worse. He died. He was really trying to hold on. And there I began to pray and question myself. But then when I began to study the Bible, I would like to tell you, it doesn't mean he was less of a Christian. It doesn't mean he was less of a person. If anything, he was stronger because he was able to hold on to the Word of God. He was able to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm telling you, friend, you can be faithful on the miraculous side, but you can also be faithful on the other side of faith. Praise the Lamb of God. I feel His presence here. Sometimes there may be no healing. Sometimes there may be no escape. Sometimes you may just have to go through it. Amen. Even the Chinese or Japanese philosophy of yin and yang. You ever heard that? Now, I don't. To act like I know all about it, I'd be a liar. I don't. And I don't agree with their theology, and I know this pagan, but this is something even heathens begin to understand in life. Yin and yang is something that it means, yang means positive and yin means negative. It means that this is both sides of life, and sometimes you've got to go through both of them. Now, they're heathens. They got a hold of that. Us as believers must also understand, oh, our God is real, our God can move, our God is faithful, our God has all power, our God has miraculous faith that He can impart to us. It is a gift of the Spirit, but that miraculous faith that He imparts to us also will sustain us and help us have a clear view of who He is, even in the worst fiery trial of your life. Hear me today. We go on and read through our Bible, we would understand in Ecclesiastes that it says, consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which He hath made crooked in the day of prosperity? Be joyful! That's easy to do. Amen. Everything's good, everybody's happy. I love it. And you do too. And God wants you to love it. He wants you to enjoy life. He wants you to have good things. He wants you to be blessed. But it goes on to say this. It says, God also has said, it goes on to say, but in the day of adversity, consider, God also has set the one over against the other to the end that man shall find nothing after him. Basically what it's saying, when things are going good, it's all right to be happy. But when things are not going like you planned, consider. Figure out what God is trying to say. God, what are you trying to show me? God, what are you trying to do? Are you drawing me closer? Are you pointing out some in my life? He's basically saying, take inventory in your life when you face things. We dealt with it this morning in Sunday school. I was kind of getting on my message for tonight. And I said, I better be quiet or I ain't going to preach tonight. Amen. But I was dealing with the fact that there's fellowship in suffering. Christ Himself suffered. Now, when we look at this throughout the Bible, I've just got a few examples, and I'll try not to take too long. But we look at the man by the name of Joseph, who I preached about here before as well, but 13 years in captivity, and it was 22 years before he was vindicated. I wonder, friend, how many of us could say, I went 22 years, I was done wrong, I didn't understand everything that was going on. I wonder how many of us could be betrayed and go through 22 years without getting bitter. Now, modern day faith will say, Joseph, what you doing, man? You need to tighten up. Christians don't go to prison. Christians don't get betrayed. You did something wrong. You're supposed to blend. You're supposed to be casual. You're supposed to just seem like everything's all right. But understand this, just because Joseph went through prison, just because Joseph was betrayed, didn't mean he had something wrong with his faith. He was just walking on the other side of it. Amen. The Bible goes on to say in Genesis 50 and 20, but as for you, you thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Joseph was saying, God allowed me
to walk on the other side of faith for a reason. There was a purpose in this. There was a purpose in my trial. I went through it, and it was just simply the will of God for me to go through that.
We look throughout the Bible. We read of a man named Job. It says this. We know the story of Job. Man, what a story. Up north, they say, I'm as poor as Job's turkey. And I said, that's pretty poor. I've never heard that before. Somebody mentioned that to me before. I said, man, that'd be bad off. Job lost everything. He did. How many have been to a funeral? I know everybody has. If not, well, praise the Lord. But could you imagine being Job and walking into the funeral home, so to speak? I know they didn't have those back then, but not only seeing one casket, but seeing 10. Some blue, some pink. Lost his children. Lost everything. And even his wife looks at him and says, Job, curse God and die. Now we give her a hard time, I know. But I believe she was speaking out of hurt. I believe she was speaking. How many of us have lost 10 loved ones at one time? It wouldn't be a little questionable and trying to figure things out. But here Job is, lost everything. Lost his animals, lost his children. Here he is. He's sitting in an ash heap. He's full of boils. And all of a sudden he has a visitation from his friends. And for days they just stare at him. Now that would drive me crazy. You know, you can tell when somebody's looking at you. Usually I can feel it. I can feel it right now. Amen. But understand, you know, they just sit there and they looked at Job and they said, surely you've done something wrong, Job. Surely there's sin in your life. Surely there's something wrong that you did this. But understand that Job here, it wasn't necessarily wrong that he was going through this. He was simply on the other side of faith. And he said things like this. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain my eyes, my own ways before him. He was saying this, if I get healed or not, if I come out of this or not, I still trust him. Amen. He would go on to say something like this, behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself from the right hand, and I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He was saying, look, I know him. I've kept my faith and integrity. I'm just on the other side of it. I know I've done nothing wrong. I still trust him. I may not see him, but when I'm done with him, I will come forth as gold. Hallelujah. Now take inventory for a minute. Because you'd have to be honest as long as I'm talking, all of us. When we go through something, we're looking for the exit. ASAP, you know, as soon as possible. God, this is tough. I'm on the other side of faith. Get me out of this now. But when's the last time, and hear me, I'm going to go further into this. When's the last time we prayed and said, Lord, this is tough. And I don't understand it all. And I can't put my finger on it, but I still have my faith in you. And whatever you're showing me, Lord, teach me to trust you. Teach and guide me, Lord. You can just read on and on through Scripture. I've got more examples than we do time today. But let's move along and we'll understand that this man by the name of Paul, he said something like this in 2 Corinthians 12:7. And he said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Paul is saying here, look, I've been faithful. I mean, he's been to the third heaven. Come on. I mean, man of God. But he said, a messenger of Satan was sent to buffet me. You look that word buffet up in the Greek, it literally means to knuckle him. It means literally to just torment him. He's sitting here and three times he's praying, Lord, thorn. God looks at him and says, Paul, grace. Lord, I can't take it, Lord. Thorn! Paul, grace! Hey, Paul! Hey, Lord, it's me again.
I'm telling you, it's still here. It's driving me crazy. I don't know if I can make it another day. I don't know if I can survive spiritually. I feel like I'm just about to implode. Lord, I've got this thorn. God looks back at him and said, Paul, I gave you grace. Yes. Yes. Hear me today, friend. Notice this. Paul hadn't necessarily done anything wrong. He had his faith. But he was just on the other side of it. Hear me today. Paul was at a place, and in the modern, I've heard men say this, that the reason that Paul had a thorn and could not get rid of it, it was because he had a lack of faith. I've heard preachers of the mega, you understand what I'm saying, mega faith, they say that. But understand, it wasn't because of that. He had this thorn in his flesh. God gave him grace. And this was Christ's answer to him. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in his weakness. But understand this, Paul immediately has an attitude shift. And he says this in that same verse, most gladly, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul was saying, look, this is the way it is. I can't help it. God said He's given me grace. I might as well be joyful in it. I might as well rejoice in it. Paul's saying this is pretty much what it is. I'm here. This is the situation. It is not changed at the apparent moment. God said He sent me by His grace. I might as well have joy on this side of faith. Now usually on that side there's little joy. In a lot of minds. But boy, there have been those throughout the eternities past that have been examples. And I know you got men and women in your life you could point to that said even though they went through it, they kept their joy. They kept their integrity. It goes on, understand, when you look at this word, when Paul said this, I'd rather glorify my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That word in the Greek literally means this. It means to tent upon. It means to abide. It means to rest upon. It is like spreading over a tent. It is like actually putting a canopy over you. He said, well, I'm on this side of faith. I'd rather let His power in my weakness actually hover over me. I'd rather let it tent upon me. I'd rather let it be a canvas over me. That means on the other side of faith, there's a power source that you can tap into. That God can do things in your life that you never thought possible. You hear me? Understand, he goes on a little further and says this, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We can understand from that one verse that he's saying this, that you can have pleasure on that side of faith. Not only can you be joyful and praise the Lord, I'm sick, but praise God. Bills are coming. Don't know if I can pay them. But praise your name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Not only can you be joyful, but it goes on to simply say this, you can have pleasure in that side of faith. Now when we begin to study these verses, most scholars and theologians believe that those verses of Scripture I've read to you, they refer to this as the pinnacle of faith. Now hear me, this is important. They refer to it as the pinnacle of faith, which means it is the mountaintop of faith. Which means, basically, let me put it in this terms. It's good when you can serve Him when the miraculous happens. But he goes on to say the pinnacle of faith simply means this, that you have a greater faith when you can stand when everything ain't going your way. Basically what it's saying is this, when we suffer for God to meekly endure whatever affliction He is pleased to put upon us, to lay down our lives for the sake of His truth, if called upon to do so, is the highest point which faith can reach. I'm telling you, friend, today that you can get to that place that no matter what comes, hell or high water, you can stand upon Christ. You can say, look, I still choose to believe that He is faithful. And when you do that, you're showing God the greatest form of faith. Carter Conlon, which is now the pastor of Times Square Church, took David Wilkerson's place. He told a story one time. It stood out to me. I thought it was amazing.
He said he was going to preach in the Middle East to 100 and something different pastors that were persecuted all the time. Churches burnt to the ground, family members martyred and murdered, and they were constantly facing Islamic terrorism and all that. He said he went to this meeting to preach this. And he said when he got down to pray about the meeting, the Holy Ghost dealt with his heart to preach on suffering and being faithful and to stand up and to rear your shoulders back, basically, to keep your faith. He said to himself, Lord, these men face more persecution than I do every day. Some of them face in 1 week more than what I face in my life. Can I go there and preach a happy message? He said, the Lord kept you just putting in the Spirit, preach this. Preach this. And he said he went there. He got in the podium. He preached a message that God gave him about being enduring through suffering and being strong and keeping your faith. And he said after he preached that, most of them pastors began to fall on their face and weep. He said, I thought to myself, I killed him, Lord. Lord, here I am, they're facing all this, and I've done destroyed them. I came in with a heavy word. And he got down beside one of them pastors. Now hear me, this is a true story. He got down beside one of them pastors and said, why are you weeping? He said, thank you, Brother Carter Conlon. You preached a message. He said, we have watched TBN for years and thought there was something wrong with our faith because we didn't have money, because we didn't have provision, because we were persecuted, and we thought there was something wrong with us. But now we understand that we are simply walking on the other side of it. We are on the greater part of it. And this is something that we must endure. I'm going to just be honest with you. Being involved in mission work, I'm ashamed. I am ashamed of what we're pumping into other countries. I'm ashamed. I'd go over there. You teach and preach to pastors, and they don't prosperity name it, claim it, and they just have TBN channels all over South Africa, all these different. You say, why are you saying? Because it needs to be said. You said, do you need to call names? Paul did. Demas has forsaken me. He wouldn't worry about Demas' self esteem either. He loved this present world. Alexander the coppersmith, he's caused me much trouble. It's a shame. But as the true church in the body of Christ, which I know we're a part of, church, hold your head high. Know that even though you go through things, it's just the other side of it. This is part of the whole package. Hear me today. When we read throughout the Bible, we understand that it says, of whom the swallow was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of this earth. It was saying the world was not even worthy of them. Just think about all the different celebrities Hollywood has. They can't touch a faithful, born-again believer. Isn't it amazing the caste system in this world? We praise that which is athletic. We praise that which is talented. We praise that which has ability. But God looks down at this world and His caste system is different than that. He looks at the man over there that's fasting and praying and reading his Bible and say, royalty in my eyes. That's royalty. If you're here today, you're faithful and God knows you. Thank you for your faithfulness and what your faith is. In the eyes of God, you're a celebrity. Amen. This world's not even worthy of you. Third part of this message, I'm moving along, is receiving your report card. I read to you in Hebrews 11:2, it says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. And then you read on, it says in Hebrews 11:39, and these all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. It was saying in the beginning, before he began to name anybody, he was saying every one of these that I am naming, he said it in the beginning, and he said it at the end of the chapter, he said every one of these got a good report. You'll read where it says this in Hebrews 11:34, some escaped the edge of the sword. But in Hebrews 11:37, some were slain with the sword. Both of them got a good report. Let me put it this way. Hey, mister, you escaped the edge of the sword? Here's an A+. Hey, mister, over here, you were faithful in suffering and they killed you and you were martyred for the gospel? A+. You understand?
Understanding the Acts, it says this. It's dealing with the fact that one of the persecutions, it says, now about this time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. James was killed. Peter was delivered. Hey, James, you died for the faith? A plus. Hey, Peter! Oh, miraculous, wasn't it? I mean, an angel came to the cell door. Go home, Peter. Get up and get out of here. And when he went there, they thought they were seeing a ghost. Hey, look, one was on one side of faith and the other on the other. And guess what? Both of them got an A plus. So I just want to put it in these terms today, if you'll allow me. Moses, you were standing at the Red Sea. I mean, think about it. The Red Sea, and it just...
But it actually took a whole night to see you. Never mind the sound effects. Red Sea opened, you were delivered. Guess what he gets? An A plus. Hey, Jeremiah, you preached and nobody listened. You ended up in punishment. You ended up in muck and mire. And it just seemed like nobody wanted to listen to you. You didn't see a Red Sea open. A plus.
Hear me today, friend. Hebrew boys, man, what a miracle. It's exciting. You went to the fire, you came out alive. But hey, Polycarp, you're a martyr for the gospel. You were burned at the stake. Hebrew boys, you get an A plus, but Polycarp, you get an A plus too. Amen? Understand, hey, pastor that's been faithful, and God are preachers that have been faithful, and we live in America of great opportunity. You get an A plus when we keep our faith, brother. But hey, brother overseas who will give your life for the gospel for preaching it, you get an A plus too. Understand this. How about you? How about the one there that was healed from cancer? It's happened. People heal from cancer. It's miraculous. You get an A plus. How about those that do not get healed and go on to be with the Lord? They get an A plus too. So he's saying here that we can understand. He's saying that all these retained a good report. He was simply saying this. I wonder today how many times people get discouraged. They give up. And it's simply not that you've done anything wrong or that you're a bad person. You're simply just on the other side of faith. That's all it is. As my wife comes to the piano. Simply on the other side of faith. I presented to you today that you can understand this, that the modern gospel is this, that you're always going to be healthy, you're always going to be prosperous, everything's going to be okay. And that is probably the most prevalent doctrine being taught. But I'm talking to us as a real body of believers and say, I'm telling you, there's times everything's going to go good. There's times there are going to be blessings. But there's also times you're going to face things. But you can be faithful and get a good report on both sides. If you would stand to your feet tonight. Amen. Stand to your feet. I wonder how many give up.